This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Wide receiver preview part two. Here we go. It starts with a guy who was a top seven wide receiver per game last year and overall. Guy who had a breakout season and bit of unexpected circumstances. Can he do it again? Who is that guy? I'll tell you in a moment. Welcome to the show. It is Friday, August 7th. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Heath Cummings. Later today, we have a mailbag with John Daigle of Establish the Run. And we're actually going to be talking to a former St. Jude patient. We're going to be pumping up the FFT Open. So you got to listen to that. And we'll do the news and notes and all that stuff in the mailbag. Anyway, good morning, Heath.
Also, between now and then, we have FFT Dynasty. And I will have Dan Schneier and Jacob Gibbs on FFT Dynasty to talk about the Beyond the Box Score Dynasty League. Woo. Chances to play in a league with me, Dan, Jacob. I'm going to figure out who's going to be the commissioner of that league because I'm afraid it has to be me.
I will do it, Heath.
No. Thank you. No, you do a fantastic job at running dynasty leagues. Never any problems with any of your leagues.
So in addition to that really cool league that's up for auction, is it an auction, Heath?
I believe it will be an auction, yes.
We have done it. Remember earlier this week when we picked a league's draft order live on FFT? Yeah, Dave, we remember. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. Now you can buy such an item in the Draftathon store. And now it's even easier to get to the Draftathon store, by the way. So if you want to play in a league with a fantasy expert, the FFT Open, if you want us to pick your league's draft order, you can find that. Just Google FFT Donate 2026, and it'll come right up. Just make sure it's a Tiltify link that you're clicking on to place your donation. But we can pick your league's order on this show. We can do a private video, whatever you want. Both are available on the Draftathon store.
Okay.
Page, whatever.
More on the Draftathon during our mailbag show, which will air on Saturday, but you can see it on YouTube on Friday. Let's get into wide receivers now. Yesterday we did part one, which was kind of an overview of the position. One thing we're not seeing is as many hits late in drafts. Thomas, I don't know if you have that graphic, but if you want to show where the wide receivers who have been drafted, where the wide receivers who have averaged 15 or more PPR fantasy points per game have been drafted year over year. What you're going to see is the last 2 years, not as many hits. In fact, in the last 2 years, there's only been one wide receiver drafted after round seven that has averaged 15 or more PPR fantasy points per game. Remember, last year we only had 11 wide receivers who did it. Usually we're in the 16 to 18 range. So last year was just a bad year. But reliably, every single year, listen to this, every single year you get at least one guy in round six who averages 15 or more PPR fantasy points per game. And again, that's like a top 18 finish every year. You usually get a guy in round seven as well. The last 2 years, what we haven't had is the guys after round six and seven. Only one guy in the last 2 years who's done it. Hopefully that changes. But my point is, Your stud receivers, you can get them all the way through round six and seven. Obviously, not everyone is going to do that in round six and seven, but it happens every year, at least one guy in round six, at least one guy in round seven. I think four of the last 5 years, round seven, have averaged 15 or more PPR fantasy points per game. So we're not quite there yet. We're in round three. If you want to hear the wide receivers in rounds two, that would be the top 11 of Chase, Lamb, Jeff, Chase. Oh, this is last year's ADP. Sorry. Chase, Puka,
there you go.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Lamb, Jefferson, London, A.J. Brown, George Pickens, Rashee Rice, and Nico Collins. That was at the end of part one. We're going to start with Chris Olave in round three, Malik Nabers in round three, Devontae Smith in round three. Who is your favorite? How would you rank those three, Heath? Olave, Nabers, and Devontae Smith.
As of right now, I would rank them Olave, Devontae, and Nabers. But there are a lot of things that could change, especially, I think, right now for Devontae and Neighbors. Devontae is a little bit banged up. Neighbors trying to show that he is 100% healthy. So this order could change, but as of right now, it's Olave, Devontae, Neighbors.
Dave?
I've got Neighbors first, leaning into him being fine for the start of the season, hoping that the Giants passing issues that have been going on in camp so far can resolve themselves. This is the time for those issues to come up now, early August. And by late August, hopefully it's a different situation. We know what Jackson Dart is capable of doing. I'm hoping that they work out their kinks over the next couple of weeks and that Neighbors participates or continues to participate and looks good. I've got Olave next, Devontae Smith after that, but they're all top 16 receivers for me. They all belong roughly top 30 in fantasy drafts. So I've got Smith maybe a smidge outside of the top 30, but this is where we're going for wide receivers who have that screaming upside, the chance to have 17 plus PPR points per game to finish as a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. And the downside's pretty scary, especially for Neighbors, but we're willing to take that chance in round three because of the upside and the pathways to high target volume, big plays, quality offenses, at least in the case of New Orleans and Philadelphia.
Well, yesterday we talked about CeeDee Lamb having a projection around 17 and a half-ish fantasy points, somewhere around there. Are you saying that you think Olave, Neighbors, and Devontae Smith could average 17 PPR points per game?
Yes, but I don't think they're as safe for that as CeeDee Lamb, because the things that I talked about, high target volume, we know Lamb is going to get that. He's not going to sit there and get six targets per game. We could expect him to get eight targets per game, maybe even nine. And it feels like 17 is almost like a safe expectation for CeeDee Lamb. Whereas these other guys, there's more downside and questions about their offense. No questions about Lamb's offense. That's a juggernaut right now.
Heath, I mean, I think you just look at Devontae Smith, and every time he's had one of the primary pass catchers off the field, it's over the last four seasons, it is actually 17 games without Dallas Goedert, or with Goedert leaving early with an injury, but with A.J. Brown playing. And in those 17 games, he's averaged 17.1 PPR fantasy points per game. He's been good enough to be a top 12 receiver per game in every format, top six based on last year's scoring. And that's with Goedert out and Brown playing. In three games over the last 2 years without A.J. Brown, a 45% target share, a 35% target share, a 28% target share. How is Devontae Smith not going to be great? I'm very excited. I know Jamie is as well. He's not here today, but how do you feel about Devontae Smith?
No, I'm very excited. I think like the first caveat you have to put on there is that Mekhi Lemon was not on the team.
Yeah.
And so that changes things just a little bit. And the second thing is that we do have a new offensive coordinator. We have a new offensive coordinator every year, so you can just say that every season in Philadelphia. And so things could look a little bit different there. But no, nobody's arguing against Devontae Smith. That's why we're taking him in round three, and that's why he's a consensus top 14 wide receiver.
All right, so let's get a word in on Chris Olave. It kind of took me until this morning to notice this split. Chris Olave, we know, the Shuck splits. He was unbelievable with Tyler Shuck. He was on pace for 1,400 yards and 13 touchdowns and was the number four wide receiver per game with Shuck. However, he had a 26% target share. That was eight games, by the way, with Shuck. 26% target share when Devon Vele played. And in two games without Vele, it was a 36.5% target share. That was Vele. Now they have Jordan Tyson. They still have Vele. Dave, how do you feel about Chris Olave? Give me 30 seconds and we'll move on to the next round.
I don't think the targets are going to be the same this year as they were last year. I don't know how bad the drop-off will be. It could be a full target per game, but last year with Shuck, eight games, 9.1 targets per game, and that was on a high ADOT too, and he still came through for almost 19 PPR points per game. I don't think that's attainable. I think that that's out the window, and you've got to be a little bit worried about Tyson kicking it up into high gear at some point in the middle of the season. Hopefully he stays healthy enough to do that. And there's still other peripheral players. You mentioned Vele, Juwan Johnson. We don't know how much the running backs will contribute. Actually, Heath knows how much the running backs will contribute in the passing game. It won't be that much. Olave, when he plays, he's going to be the number one guy. I feel best about him as one of those borderline low-end number one, high-end number two wide receivers. Tickled to death to get him as my number two wide receiver. Would I be okay with him as my number one wide receiver? Yeah, especially if it's round three, and especially if I really struck it big on my first two picks.
Okay, let's move on. So we are now 15 wide receivers in. Well, that's 14 wide receivers with those three. So we'll get to wide receiver 15. Heath, you want to say something?
No, just the chat's very disappointed in what terrible alumni you guys are, or alone that you're not mentioning Carson Beck.
Carson Beck, who I think underthrew both of his deep balls, in my opinion. We'll talk about him on the mailbag show.
Okay.
So let's get to wide receiver 15 and get into round four. And there are some guys that we're going to just love in this round. And that is Zay Flowers, Emeka Ibuka. I mean, first of all, that's a guy Heath loves in Zay Flowers, a guy Dave loves in Emeka Ibuka, guys that we all like at least. And then after that, we have Tetero McMillan, Garrett Wilson, T. Higgins, Ladd McConkey, Luther Burden. And then there's Jaylen Waddle, Davante Adams. I mean, we're still in this mix of part of the top 25 or 26 guys where we want at least two of them. And not all these guys are going to be good. Remember, last 2 years, wide receivers 13 through 18, 8 of the 12 have been horrible busts. But previously, this was a pretty solid range of receivers. So, Heath, how do you view, we can break it up, Flowers, Ibuka, McMillan, Wilson. Flowers, Ibuka, McMillan, and Garrett Wilson, the first four of this group.
You know, it's funny because the guy you left out, T. Higgins, who's going one pick after Garrett Wilson, I would take over everybody in that group except for Zay Flowers, and I would take over everyone in the prior group except for Chris Olave.
Oh.
So this is why I don't draft a lot of Devontae Smith, I guess, because T. Higgins is always available when Devontae Smith is taken.
Okay, good to know. So you're a Higgins guy. I think that's the thing about Higgins is we pretty much know what to expect. It's probably going to be at least 15 PPR fantasy points per game when he and Chase and Burrow are on the field. If he has a target per out run rate like he did 2 years ago, that's when he was, I think, the number five receiver per game or something like that. But that's probably not going to happen. But Higgins is an easy one to project, I think, as long as he and Burrow stay healthy, which, of course, has been a problem. Any thoughts on – I know you love Flowers. Do you avoid Ibuka, McMillan, or Garrett Wilson in this range, early round four?
If there was an avoid for me, it would be Garrett Wilson. So I have this kind – not quite a mega tier – but Flowers, Nico, Olave, Higgins, Devontae, Teteroa, neighbors are all within a point per game for me. And Luther Burden and Ibuka are like 2 points below that cutoff. So they're basically in the same group. Garrett Wilson's about a point per game behind that tier for me. So I pretty much never draft Garrett Wilson. Maybe he should go like half a round later, but it's just all these other guys are jam packed in there with him. And I pretty much always draft wide receivers in this range.
Okay. Yeah. That's another thing we can look at is there aren't a lot of running back. In this range, the running backs like Breece Hall and Javonte Williams and Travis Achane are mostly off the board. You'd see Achane there. The next guy up is Bucky Irving and Quinshon Judkins. All right, Dave, your thoughts on this group of Flowers, Ibuka, McMillan, Garrett Wilson, and Higgins, I guess.
Hey, right. So throw in as many wide receivers as you want. And if you're listening and you're hearing these names and you're going, cool, I dig most of these guys, then maybe you start earmarking round four as the spot to get your wide receiver two. And if that's the case, then what are you doing with your first three picks? Well, you might be able to get two running backs. You can get one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, something like that. But the bottom line is that there will be a wide receiver in round four that you will feel good about drafting. Mm-hmm. The one I feel best about is Ibuka. I've been outspoken on it. I'm going to stick to this flag plant until something significantly changes. We know that Jaylen McMillan left practice yesterday. It's giving an opportunity for Ted Hurst to play, but really what it's going to do is it's going to funnel more targets to Ibuka, to Chris Godwin. Those two guys are going to be the top target getters in Tampa Bay. This offense is going to throw a lot. Ibuka proved last year when he was healthy that he's awesome, and he did that with Mike Evans on the field at times. Now Evans is gone. Someone's got to step up and be the red zone threat. I think it's going to be Ibuka, and he's also going to line up across the formation. He's going to work all three levels. All the things that we look for in a wide receiver that could break out, I think Ibuka's got it. And so I'm happy to take him at the head of the class.
I will say this. If you strongly prefer, like Dave said, earmark you a round four pick for this guy. If you strongly prefer one or two of these guys, don't count on them making it to round four. In a large percentage of drafts, a couple of these guys will be gone before you get to pick 36.
Right, but that's assuming that you only like a few of these guys. But if you hear all the names and maybe even some of the names on the next tier and you go, oh, cool, I'd be good with any of them, then I think you can wait till round four.
Yeah, I think this is so interesting, right? Because this actually gives me, now look, wide receivers drafted in round one are the most likely to be the elite ones. Same with round two. And it's, you know, this was not a good range last 2 years, basically. He did have JSN come out of here. He had Devontae Adams with a lot of busts. But I look at this list and I go, man, I'd be happy to take two of these guys. I'd be happy to start running back, Zay Flowers, T. Higgins, or Ibuka, T. Higgins, or Ibuka, Ladd McConkey, or something like that. And, there are enough guys in this range that if I felt confident I can get them with my third and fourth picks, and ADP is telling me that, I would do it. And that's not even if somehow Devontae Smith or Malik Nabers or Chris Olave happen to fall to me in the third round or something like that. But I don't know. It does, Heath, I think it does seem stronger here than at running back. To me, that's the point you were making, right?
Yes. I mean, if you're just looking at the graphic, I put on my do not draft list both Travis Etienne and Bucky Irving. I like Quinshon Judkins in that range. I agree that I really like taking two wide receivers in round three and round four. If you're an insane person, it is possible to start your draft with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Rashi Rice, Zay Flowers, or one of the guys going behind him, and Luther Burden. Yeah. And in a three wide receiver league, just maybe have three top 12 wide receivers and four top 20 wide receivers, and then draft a running back room that has DeAndre Swift, Rico Dowdle, J.K. Dobbins, Bill, and Zach Charbonnet, and just piece together your running backs. That's something you can do.
Sorry about that. Let's take a break. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, we'd really appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the channel and hit the like button and leave some comments. But certainly hit that like button. I barely ever ask people to do that, but it will help our video grow. So if you're here, if you're watching later, please hit that like button. We're going to be right back with the next group. I mean, do Ladd McConkey and Luther Burden belong in the group with Zay Flowers and Ibuka and McMillan and Garrett Wilson and T. Higgins? And then what about the older guys, the Adams and the Moores and the McLaurins and the Evans of the world? We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. All right. And even looking, by the way, on NFC average draft position and the more experienced, high stakes, super cool drafters, a lot of these guys are going in round four. Ladd McConkey, though, is higher there than he is here. Ladd McConkey is wide receiver 20 here, being Fantasy Pros in Fantasy Pros, and wide receiver 17 at the 3-4 turn on NFC. So we just got done talking about Zay Flowers, who Heath talked about, I think yesterday, a lot. Ibuka, McMillan, Garrett Wilson, T. Higgins. Now we've got McConkey, Luther Burden, and Jalen Waddle. Wide receivers 20, 21, and 22. After that, we've got older guys like Adams and McLaurin, DJ Moore, Mike Evans, also Jamison Williams will be in there. We'll get to him. Dave, if we look at these three, McConkey, Burden, and Waddle, they're at the 4-5 turn, basically, right around 48th overall. Do they belong in that same tier with the guys ahead of them?
Give me the names one more time.
Yeah, no problem. Ladd McConkey, Luther Burden, Jalen Waddle.
I think Waddle does, and I think McConkey does. And I think Burden is damn close. Burden, I think you can make the case for Burden if it's full PPR. But I would rank it Waddle, McConkey, Burden.
Heath, same question to you.
Yeah, I was going to say the only one that I put in the same tier is Luther Burden. So that's why I was giggling when Dave said the other two do, and funny. Burden almost does. I rank it Burden – then Waddle, then McConkey. I've got some guys in between them, so they aren't back to back to back for me. But Burden is my favorite of the group, and I think has the most upside.
Do you want to hear the wide receivers who averaged more yards per game than Ladd McConkey as a rookie since 2005?
Oh, I was so ready too. I thought you were going to say last year, and I was going to say Quentin Johnston.
Odell Beckham, Puka Nacua, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Michael Thomas. They averaged more yards per game than Ladd McConkey. After that, Malik Nabers, Julio Jones, Marcus Colston. I mean, every single player was a stud. For McConkey to have the year he had last year, it was so surprising. And I'm really hopeful for a bounce back. We think that the offense is going to be much better with Mike McDaniel. And if you're going, well, he's not going to get that many targets. There are actually four wide receivers who finished top 12 last year with 120 or fewer targets, which is a lot. Usually it's like one or two. There were four last year who did it, including Zay Flowers. But yeah, go ahead.
I think like he doesn't get talked about enough or the same way, but Ladd McConkey's year two is every bit as mystifying to me. In fact, more so than Brian Thomas Jr., than Marvin Harrison Jr. It was an absolute disaster. And with Thomas, we blame it on his own injuries mostly, I think. And with Ladd, I guess we blame it on the offensive line's injuries.
No, I blame it on Keenan Allen.
You blame it on Keenan Allen. But it wasn't just that Keenan Allen took all of his targets. He went from 10.3 yards per target, which we knew wasn't sustainable, to 7.4, which is more like a tight end.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the targets weren't really that much different. He went from 112 to 106.
Yeah.
Well, he was just bad with those targets.
And the ADOT didn't change either. His target per route run rate went down, Heath. I don't know if that means anything to you, along with the team target share, but those two stats, the fact that there was a drop-off there, along with a huge drop-off in yards per route run, I pin that on Keenan Allen being there, and Keenan Allen being a safety valve that Justin Herbert trusts. And now that Allen isn't going to be there, I think it goes right back to Ladd McConkey. I'm excited about him. Especially in full PPR. I'm a little nervous about him having a ton of yards and a ton of touchdowns. His end zone targets actually went up from year one to year two. And how did it end up with his touchdowns? He had one less. So that's going to be just a variable that we won't be able to look at and say, okay, he's going to get eight or plus touchdowns. If we knew that, he'd be ranked a lot higher. I think the volume will be a little bit better. We know that the pathway for any receiver, but especially McConkey, to get close to 15 PPR points is to get 7+ targets per game. I think he gets there. All the hype about Quentin Johnston, Trey Harris, these tight ends, like they'll all be in the mix, but I think Ladd's going to be the top target getter in this offense. And I don't think that's saying anything crazy. And that's why I'm okay with him as a top 20 wide receiver. And another guy again, who has the potential to finish top 12.
I just really think the idea that like Ladd McConkey was clearly Justin Herbert's favorite target in his rookie year is not really the way that it went. He just had an insanely efficient season, but their target per route run, he wasn't that much different than Quentin Johnston. It was 23.4 to 22.9%.
That's 24, right?
24, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the rookie year. Sure. Like it's just that he caught 70% of the balls thrown his way, 73% of the balls thrown his way as a rookie. And it was down to 63% last year. I would say we should probably expect about 67%.
Okay. Yeah. I could understand why the projection wouldn't be great for McConkey. I feel like not that it's bad. It's just not in this, you know, in this tier with some of the other guys ahead, because you do wonder about the target share and all that stuff. And, you know, 60% slot guy, that's not my favorite profile. I'm hoping that this obsession with getting the ball out quickly and getting more yak in the offense, which is everything that we keep hearing about the Chargers, and they say it's going to benefit Quentin Johnston, and it might, but I believe wholeheartedly that Ladd McConkey is the most qualified to take advantage of that style of offense. He is much Great. Better at getting open in, you know, short area than Quentin Johnston. He's really damn good at that. But all right, let me ask you real quick. Just give me your thoughts on Luther Burden, because this is the apple of so many people's eye right now, the hot name. And, you know, Ladd McConkey and Brian Thomas Jr. had an amazing target per out run rate as rookies. I think they were both top 12 in the last like 20 years. Luther Burden's number two. Only Odell Beckham was better yards per out run than Luther Burden in the last 20 years as a rookie. However, nobody on that list had nearly as few targets as Luther Burden. So, Heath, you think it's going to be a big year for him?
Yeah, I was glad. I was hoping, like, right after you gave the rookie wide receivers who had more yards per game than Ladd McConkey, you would give the rookie wide receivers who had more yards per route run than Luther Burden. And yeah, he didn't. He was not a full-time player for a good part of the season. Ben Johnson kind of brought him along slowly. But all Ben Johnson has done, like, it's almost as if he has somehow invested in Luther Burden's ADP and he is trying to drive it up. Because all he is, like, he literally said, I'm buying stock in Luther Burden.
Right.
Everybody who has been at Bears practice has talked about how awesome Luther Burden is. All of the little tea leaves that we have suggest that Luther Burden is the wide receiver one. Maybe Colson Loveland's ahead of him, but Luther Burden's the wide receiver one on this team. They've got 155 targets to replace from last year's team. That's going to be mostly Luther Burden and Roma Dunze. And I said this on a show a couple of weeks ago, but people think that I kind of hate Roma Dunze because of how far apart I have Loveland, Burden, and Dunze. I still have all three of these guys projected for the same target share. 22% target share, 126 targets. That's probably being too kind to Luther Burden. But the big thing is Loveland and Burden. I mean, it's probably being too kind to Odunze. The big thing is Loveland and Burden have been so incredible when they've had the opportunity. And Odunze's had a fair amount of opportunity and hasn't.
Adam, you want the target per route run stat for Burden? That you'll like, but we kind of have to flesh out what it means.
Well, honestly, I do, but I think we should save that for a different show because we have like 30 more wide receivers I'd like to get to. Let's go to our next group, Dave, because it's really important to talk about the older guys here, right? These are the younger guys, Waddle's in his prime, whatever. But then we've got Davante Adams and Terry McLaurin and DJ Moore and Jamison Williams, who's not old.
He's not an older guy.
Mike Evans. So four of the next five, I believe Evans is the next guy in that group. Four of the next five are, you know, they have that in common. Again, it's Davante Adams, Terry McLaurin, DJ Moore, Jamison Williams, Mike Evans. So, Dave, do you see a tier drop from the kind of young, exciting guys to Adams, McLaurin, Moore, JMO, and Evans?
No, I would include the M&Ms in the previous tier, and that's McLaurin and DJ Moore, at least in full PPR. Yeah, they're older. Yeah, no one likes drafting the older receivers, but if they're going to produce good value on draft day, and we know what they're capable of doing as being the number one options in each of their respective offenses, with quarterbacks who are pretty good at getting their options the football, I would like to buy in. And I'm especially intrigued by Washington. They're really changing their offense around. Certainly, we've been reading about more under center work. We've been reading about that for a lot of teams, but Washington seems to be doing that. I know they just added Stephon Diggs. I think that's bad news for all the other receivers in Washington, not so much for Terry McLaurin. I'm good with McLaurin as a top 20 wide receiver. I'm okay with him being a number two wide out on my fantasy team. And all offseason long, I was really nervous about DJ Moore. Part of it was because I thought Buffalo would add another player. Part of it was because I just got committed to the idea that Buffalo is just going to keep running the football. What we've seen from DJ Moore is that who he was last year doesn't seem to be who he really is as far as talent goes. And I think the Bills are going to lean into that. And so DJ Moore is a top 24 receiver for me. I think full PPR, half PPR, that makes a difference. And I think that there is a chance for him to have a runaway lead in targets, catches, and yards in Buffalo. The touchdowns are going to be what slows me down with him, just like it would slow me down with Burden, with Zay Flowers, a bunch of other wide receivers that that we'll get to or have already gotten to.
Mm-hmm. I think that what Dave said about DJ Moore has been true for his entire career.
Except last year.
Every year, the player that he was the year before is not who he really is.
Yeah.
No one has any idea who DJ Moore really is. He's kind of the Baker Mayfield of wide receivers.
I mean, I think when you look at DJ Moore, I think he's had two top 20 seasons per game, something like that. He has three top 20 seasons, one top 12 season, and he's 29 years old. When you look at Terry McLaurin, he's had one season better than I think 20th per game, and it was 16th per game in full PPR, 12th in non-PPR, and that was 2 years ago. So these are guys that are 29, and is McLaurin going to be 31 this year? And yep. they really haven't. Yeah, he'll be 31 in September. They haven't had special careers, but they've had moments.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Adams and Evans obviously blow them away in terms of resume. Jameson Williams is probably, I'm guessing, not the guy we're going to gravitate toward in this range, just after it, right?
I have McLaurin, these are round five guys, right?
Yeah.
By ADP.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, like, I don't love any of these guys. I don't hate most of these guys. I have McLaurin, Moore, Adams, and JMO all in round five, in that order.
McLaurin, DJ Moore, Adams, Jameson Williams, but not Mike Evans. We know you don't like Evans as much.
Right.
Dave, do you feel, how many of them would you take in round five?
Of the receivers that you named?
Yeah.
Definitely McLaurin, definitely Moore. I'm okay with Devontae Adams in round five. That's it.
Not Evans. Or
not Evans, not JMO.
Okay. It's funny because I think I, as a group, I love this group. Look, we don't have, if you want a safe pick in round five, take Drake May or Joe Burrow or something like that, right?
But probably DeAndre Swift.
Yeah. Yeah, DeAndre Swift. I mean, he's going as RB24. It's pretty hard to see Swift being worse than that. But look, if you want a wide receiver in this range, they're all going to be pretty risky. I think it's a pretty good group overall. I don't know how you guys feel. I remember saying that last year about this group, and it was not great, the round five guys. Like, I remember being, oh, Xavier Worthy. Yeah, I like Xavier Worthy here. But George Pickens was in this range. In fact, you know what? Instead of me guessing, why don't we look?
Was he like the only one that was in this range?
That was good.
Who ended up being really good? Yeah.
So round five last year, wide receivers were DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, who was fine, Xavier Worthy, Devontae Smith, Tedaro McMillan, he was fine. Jameson Williams ended up being good. And then where was Pickens? Pickens was in round six, actually.
Mm. I think the problem with this group is not them. I think they're all fine. Like I said, they're all fine. Mm-hmm. I don't love them. I don't hate them. The problem is that when you turn the page to round six and you see Rome Odunze and Marvin Harrison and Christian Watson and these younger guys who may have slightly lower projections, but we certainly look at them as having more upside if things go right. I probably gravitate more towards those guys.
That's a great topic of conversation. I mean, because after this older group, and the older group has the one young guy, Jameson Williams, just so nobody gets confused. After this group is Rome Odunze. We're into round six. Rome Odunze, Carnell Tate, Christian Watson, Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's stop
that's
there,
it.
Right? So that's four guys, Odunze, Tate, Watson, Harrison. Keith's already sort of given his preference for the younger guys at a better value, at least, than the guys ahead. Not well, everyone.
Not the youngest. That's a little early for me for Tate.
Okay, okay. But Watson, Odunze, and Marvin Harrison Jr., do you like them better or are you just like waiting a round?
I have them as almost indistinguishable. Lower floor, higher ceiling. If it's my wide receiver two, I'm probably just taking one of the guys in round five to give me a little security. If it's my wide receiver three, I love the boom bust aspect of the round six guys.
Feel mostly the same exact way. If one of these guys ended up being my wide receiver two, I would almost be compelled to try and get another receiver in this same tier as soon as possible. And that way, at least I have options. Either I'm playing the matchups or I'm hoping that one of the two at some point by Halloween reveals themselves to be a worthy starter week in and week out.
I can't see myself drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. this year. You guys like him?
I'm starting to kind of warm up to him.
Yeah.
Like the biggest problem that I had with him before training camp started was I didn't think he'd be able to fulfill the X role. And so much of what I've seen as him winning in practice. And again, it's practice and it's against Arizona. And I don't think their defense is particularly good, but watching him win down the sideline outside of the numbers is encouraging to me. And if that's the role he's going to have and that's where he's going to work and he's starting to win there, then he's kind of off my bust list and now on my, okay, if I can get him right around his ADP, I guess I'd be okay with it. That's where he's at now.
That's Marvin Harrison Jr. at wide receiver 31.
And if you watched the Arizona Cardinals play in the preseason, it's clear that's all they're going to do is just throw bombs. So should work out great.
Yeah. And
get that offense balls. Looked a lot like the Rams offense from the last few years, by the way, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. And it should be encouraging to people who want to take chances on Cardinals pass catchers.
Yeah, new coordinators could make a really big difference.
Yes.
So, hey, by the way, Heath, just to go back to Evans real quick, who's just before this group of younger guys, Odunze, Tate, Christian Watson, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Dave got this trivia question right. Who has led the San Francisco 49ers in end zone targets two straight years?
End zone targets two straight years.
Just take 5 seconds. Everybody take 5 seconds before answering.
49ers. Yeah. He's not on the team anymore.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you just totally gave it away.
Yeah, I guess it was probably Juwan Jennings.
It was.
Yes.
It was Juwan. I couldn't let it go that long, Dave.
Yeah, you could.
It was Juwan Jennings. He was actually tied with Kittle 2 years ago and ahead of Kittle last year, even when Kittle was on the field. So... for those of
and
us,
so is that a Mike Evans stat?
Yeah, it's a Mike Evans stat.
Or is it a Dejon Stribling stat?
It's for those of us who believe in Mike Evans, it's a Mike Evans stat.
I believe Mike Evans will lead the 49ers in red zone targets when he's on the field.
End zone targets.
Yes.
Those two.
When he's on the field.
Yeah, when he's on the field, yep.
Which he's currently not.
Christian Watson, I don't know if there's anything that might concern us. There's been a lot of buzz about Matthew Golden having a good camp. But Watson was finally, you know, I would say being treated close to a number one wide receiver toward the end of the year. His ADOT went down. Weeks 11 through 18, Watson had a 15.5 yard ADOT and a 23.5% target share, a 28.3% target per out run rate, and 2.78 yards per out run. It's phenomenal stuff for a guy that's so efficient. It was only at 104 target pace. But he is a lot like Jameson Williams, right? I mean, so efficient with the targets. Christian Watson, no.
His game is a lot like Jameson Williams.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, fine. But his role, I think, can be a lot better.
So on any other team, I would say that's right. I was just checking to make sure this is accurate. Christian Watson, if he were to have 104 targets in a season, which is exactly what I have him projected for, would be the most by a Green Bay Packer since Devontae Adams.
Yeah, it's true.
Probably.
There was the Lazard year, 2022. Yeah, it wasn't a crazy amount of targets. I have it right here. Why am I?
Yeah, I think he had exactly 100.
Yeah, 6.7 per game. That's the second most in the Matt LaFleur tenure in Green Bay.
Yeah. But 6.7 per game is 114 targets. These guys get injured all the time. Let's wrap up this group, starting with after the Bird and McConkie group. I forget the other guy who was in there, Waddle. So we got Adams, we've got Evans, DJ Moore, Terry McLaurin, Jameson Williams, Romo Odunze, Carnell Tate, Christian Watson, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Give me the top three upside plays in this group of rounds 5 and 6 receivers.
We're going all the way back into round 5?
Yeah, the old guys and the young guys. That this group of young and old guys, who has the most upside? Top three.
McLaurin, Moore. Man, if Evan stays healthy for 17 games, I suppose it would be him because of the touchdowns.
McLaurin, J-Mo, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, J-Mo's in this group?
Yeah.
J-Mo over Evans.
I think Watson has more upside than J-Mo. Assuming everyone on both teams stays healthy.
Okay. You know what? Yes.
I mean, hasn't J-Mo already had a top 12 season?
per game? No. I think that Devontae Adams, by the way, should have been your answer because he was just wide receiver 9 last year.
Yeah, you're right.
Per game and overall.
Okay, so you're kind of making a point here that there's a lot of guys that you can make a strong upside case for.
Yes. Yes.
And so add all these names to the names that you heard 7 minutes ago and start taking inventory of how many of them you love as a number 2 wide receiver and how many you like as a number 3 wide receiver and how many you don't really want to have on your team because you're worried about targets or injuries or Sam Laporta or Michael Wilson. You know what I'm saying? Like other players getting in the way. I think it's an important step for fantasy managers to take before they draft.
All right. So let's take another break here. And we're at wide receiver 32 when we come back in ADP, which is Courtland Sutton, and we're into round 7. And remember, we almost always have a round 7 wide receiver average 15 or more points per game. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. Welcome back, everybody. All right, we're making our way through the draft board here, and we're going to get to wide receiver 32, which is Courtland Sutton, to begin round 7. Now, when we get to round 9, pick 97. I think I gave the stat maybe yesterday. I don't know, whatever. But remember, there have been 36 wide receivers in the last 6 years, 6 per season, drafted round 9 or later and have finished either top 24 overall or per game. So these are important players. So starting with Courtland Sutton in round 7, we have Sutton, Brian Thomas Jr., DK Metcalf, and Alec Pierce, and Parker Washington.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Somebody I love.
Right. I was like, man, there's a few guys here that there's just no way I'm drafting. Sutton, Brian Thomas Jr., Metcalf, Alec Pierce. And the reason I'm not drafting Pierce here is because he's still hurt and we have no timetable for his return. And then we have Parker Washington. So, Dave, looking at that group here, who are the ones that you would gravitate toward?
It does sound like Alec Pierce is going to be back sooner than later, so I wouldn't freak out just yet about his absence. I like the Jaguars receivers the best, and I think it comes down to format on which one I want more. If catches count, give me Washington. If they don't count, give me BTJ. I think there's a world where those two can lead the way in this Jacksonville offense. And I continue to be encouraged by what we're hearing out of Jacksonville and learning out of Jacksonville as far as the passing game goes. And I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about the running game and how that might be a little messy, not just in terms of who's playing what role, but how effective they'll end up being. So could it be that Jacksonville ends up being one of those teams that just throws a lot this season? And I think the answer to that question is yeah. And I'm ready to start investing in that passing game even more.
Heath, same question to you. Pick the guys that you would take in this range: Sutton, BTJ, Metcalf, Alec Pierce, and Parker Washington.
Yeah, I am fine with DK Metcalf here. I don't think anybody's excited about drafting DK Metcalf, but I'm fine with it. I am good with Brian Thomas Jr. here. I think you could make the argument that he should be in the Harrison Watson grouping, and Parker Washington fits well in round 7 as well.
What we don't want from Brian Thomas Jr. is a super high A dot. There's been a lot of talk about him. I mean, I feel like they always talk about him as a downfield threat. That's what he was in the last 5 or 6 games last year when Myers and Washington and Thomas, they were all there mostly. But it feels like it would be the most obvious thing in the world if he were great again. And we were just like, oh, of course. He was obviously super hurt his second right. season. So I know a lot of us, we're going to have more than 10 teams, some approaching 20 teams. I think we're all going to want to have a little bit of Brian Thomas.
Yes.
All right. Moving on to the next round. And tell me when you think we're kind of hitting like a new tier of not as much upside. Because you could see Parker Washington and Brian Thomas Jr. having big seasons. Alec Pierce, based on being basically the most efficient wide receiver in the NFL the last 2 years. It's not an exaggeration.
To mention an uptick in targets.
Exactly. But are we running out of those types of players as we get to about round 8 now? Jordan Tyson, my wide receiver 37 in ADP. Jordan Tyson, Michael Wilson, Wandale Robinson. Those are the guys in round 8. We can keep going into round 9. But Jordan Tyson, Michael Wilson, Wandale Robinson. Dave, how do you feel about those three?
Don't love them. I think round 8 is fine for Wilson and Wandale. But I haven't heard you say Chris Godwin's name, Josh Downs' name, Jordan Addison's name. And I think I'd rather have all three of those guys than Wilson and Wandale.
What about Tyson?
I like Tyson.
Tyson, I've got even a round behind this.
Heath?
Tyson, I have at the very end, right at the 7-8 turn. So I think this is right where he belongs. Michael Wilson is the end of round 9 for me, and I've already told you I'm not drafting Wan'Dale Robinson.
Isn't Tyson, Dave, like the kind of guy that would shock, would surprise us and have a really great year? I mean, you got the pedigree. He's going to, should be the number 2 guy on his team. They probably will have a bad defense. You know what I mean?
I'm worried about him staying healthy because he had that problem in college, and it goes beyond the ACL injury he had 4 years ago. Like, you almost forgive him for that because it was just such a freak injury and he had a full year to recover from it. But it's everything else. It's the fact that he's already strained his hamstring once during the lead up to the draft. And then again, I'm not sure if it was again or if he was still dealing with it right when training camp opened. There's no denying this guy's talent, but I'd be surprised if he's the top target getter in this offense. I'd be surprised if he came close to averaging 14 PPR points per game. I think if you draft him with the idea of him as a boom bust bye week replacement, number 4 receiver, something along those lines, sure. But I look at a lot of other wide receivers that I just think have a chance to be more consistent than Tyson. And 2 of them are, at least in full PPR, are Wilson and especially Wan'Dale. And so I they're not as sexy as Tyson, but I think they'll be a little bit more available and more consistent.
I think it's interesting because we didn't, like when we talked about the concerns with Christian Watson, we just talked about how many times the Packers have historically thrown to their wide receivers. I would not say that Jordan Tyson's more likely to get hurt than Christian Watson is. I wouldn't say that's that fair. He's more likely to get hurt than Mike Evans is.
Also
I'm not sure I would say he's more likely to get hurt than Davante Adams is.
Also fair, but those guys should be in line. The first 2 you named are going to be the number 1 receivers on their teams, and the 3rd guy is going to get targets like he's a number 1 wide receiver. And I don't know if Tyson can fill that role this soon in New Orleans.
I do think that, and I'd like to do this research, but I think it's possible that you get just as many targets out of the number 2 wide receiver when he has a good one in Kellen Moore's offense that you do the number 1 wide receiver in Matt LaFleur's offense.
Let's see if I can figure that out.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, maybe the answer is, do you want upside or do you want safety? Are you starting 3 wide receivers and this guy is going to be in your lineup most weeks? Or are you starting 2 wide receivers and this guy, if he hits, he's going to be in your lineup. But if you just need to wait it out till he gets his feet wet and, you know, you can afford a month on your bench with Tyson, maybe that determines it. But obviously he's not safe, but there's a lot of reason to like him. Heath, let's move on to the next round, which has some guys that Dave mentioned. He likes Chris Godwin. He likes Josh Downs. But we have Michael Pittman. We have Mekhi Lemon. We have Chris Godwin. Jacoby Myers. Man, round 10 is awesome. Like, we are not even into Josh Downs and Quentin Johnston yet. But wide receivers 40 through 43 are in round 9. They are Pittman, Lemon, Godwin, and Myers. Heath.
Yeah, Godwin, Lemon, and Myers are like, Godwin and Lemon I have a round earlier than this. Myers I have in this round. Pittman I have a round after this.
Who's the first one you said? Godwin is earlier?
Godwin is, and Lemon are both in round 8 for me.
Yeah.
I do have Jacoby Myers in round 9, though nobody ever really wants to click him. And Michael Pittman I have in round 10 because I never click him.
Chris Godwin, you know, Jamie said last week that Pete Prisco was at Bucks camp and said Chris Godwin's 100%. And if you've been following my thoughts on Chris Godwin, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. He was my guy. I wanted to draft a lot of him. Then I watched some of his tape from last year, and I'm not even feeling like it's a risky opinion. He looked really slow and just did not seem recovered from the broken, I think it was ankle, maybe leg, from 2 years ago. But if he's back to being healthy in 2024, Chris Godwin was the number 3 wide receiver per game. And now Mike Evans is gone. Well, Mike Evans is gone too, though. So he's being drafted as wide receiver 42. So I and back in on Chris Godwin because I think it's worth the risk. I am okay with him being a bust if I take him in round 9 or something like that.
Yep.
It is worth the risk, and there's such an opportunity there. Dave?
I've got Heath's numbers, by the way.
Oh, okay. Oh, his phone number?
These are the target averages for the number 2 wide receiver in Kellen Moore's offenses each of the last 5 years. Last year, 7.3 for Rashid Shaheed before they traded him.
Wow.
Year before that, 6.2, that was Devontae Smith. 6.1, 5.2, and then you go back to 2021, Amari Cooper had 7.1 targets per game.
That sounds a lot like Matt LaFleur's number 1 wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely make the point that there is some statistical comparison and obviously some injury comparison between Watson and Tyson. If we really land on that being a thing, then it just makes me not want to take Christian Watson.
Yeah, and that 7 target number is so huge. I don't know if I can find the stat, but basically every wide receiver round 7 or later that ends up being good, like 90% of them average 7 or more targets per game.
Of course.
So, well, you say of course, but we don't always look at these guys as, oh, they could do it. So, like, in retrospect, we certainly should have been hammering Chris Olave's name last year. Right, because he was the one guy who came out of it. So look at this team and look at this list and go, who could average 7 targets per game? Those aren't the only guys you should draft. But if you find one who can, who you think will get to 119 targets in a full season or 7 per game, that is a guy you should be looking at here. Dave, let's go to round 10. Quentin Johnston is pick 107. He is wide receiver 44. Jordan Addison, Josh Downs, Jaden Reed. This is a nice round here with Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison, Josh Downs, and Jaden Reed.
Downs and Addison, sign me up. Amazing value for them, especially in full PPR. The under-the-radar story in Minnesota is that Addison and Kyler have been on the same page since working together in the offseason. And right now, Addison's dealing with a thumb injury that's sidelining him for a few days. They don't think it's serious. They think he'll be ready to go. If it ends up coming to pass that this Vikings offense with Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones as their primary running backs, if this offense ends up throwing more, then obviously that's going to be good news for Jefferson. It's going to be good news for Jordan Addison too. I'd rather have Downs. I especially love that Downs is working as the number 1 wide receiver in training camp for Indianapolis these days. And it helps that we got a report as recently as yesterday that Daniel Jones looks like his old self. They had a team drills, full pads. Jones was running around. He was accurate. That's encouraging. I don't know if it makes me want to draft Daniel Jones in a 1 QB. In fact, I do know. I don't. But as far as the receivers go, I'm in. I like it. And Josh Downs is someone I'm willing to reach up way sooner than round 10 for.
Yep.
I think Downs is the clear favorite for all of us in full PPR. In half PPR, in my projections, yep. Downs, Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison are all the Spider-Man meme, all right around 9.5, 9 half PPR fantasy points per game in the projections. And I think that in that format, you probably get more upside from Addison and Johnston than you do from Downs. I still think that we're maybe underrating the chances that Quentin Johnston is the biggest winner from the Mike McDaniel hire. And love the fact that you can find him in round 10.
Got a comment in the chat from Eric, and he says Downs will be gone by the 8th round. And if that's the case, I'll take him in the 8th round then.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I do think you have to worry about touchdowns with him. He is so small. I mean, he makes Zay Flowers look big. Probably not. That's probably him. But he's a tiny guy. And I think small guys could have trouble catching touchdowns. So. But again, it's worth the risk in round 8 or later.
Does it excite you at all that he averaged over 13 PPR points per game with some good target volume 2 seasons ago in this Shane Steichen offense? And that was back when they had bad quarterback play.
Everything excites me about Josh Downs. I mean, I talked about it on our network show yesterday. He's one of the players on my most wanted list. His first 3 seasons are pretty similar to Jackson Smith and Jigba's first 2 seasons. In terms of the slot rate, the yards per target, the yards per catch, he is pretty much no chance to be as good as JSN, but Josh Downs this is. But if they use him more outside, that will unlock different potential for Josh Downs.
Sure. And the touchdown call is very significant. He has 11 career end zone targets, three last year.
Ooh, another thing that he has in common with JSN, his number one-ish receiver from last year got traded to Pittsburgh.
Oh, so that's definitely a reason to buy into Josh Downs. Hey, what about this? He had 14 red zone targets last year.
Wow. Jaden Reed, by the way, might be
88 targets overall, and 14 of them were in the red zone. Let's see how many of them were inside the five.
Jaden Reed might be a little underrated, too. He does have some rushing ability. He has the second most rushing yards among wide receivers over the last three seasons. He has, I've given this before. Jaden Reed has 34 carries in the last 3 years. Six of them have gone for 20 or more yards. That is twice as many 20-plus yard runs over the last 3 years as Alvin Kamara and Ashton Jeanty. All right, let's talk about round 11 and beyond. Anyone we like here? I'm going to say a name. You tell me if you want to draft him. Matthew Golden. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a first-round pick last year, 2025. So let's not give up on him yet. Xavier Worthy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Romeo Doubs.
Not later than round 10, but sure.
Casey Concepcion.
Yes.
Khalil Shakir.
Concepcion is round 9. Shakir, no.
He's Romeo Doubs. I think he could be a problem for DJ Moore.
Okay, yeah.
I think DJ Moore is a big problem for Khalil Shakir.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So far it sounds like Concepcion is your favorite of this group?
So far for me.
I've got Worthy just a little higher.
Okay.
Golden. I do too, I'm changing it.
All right, Golden, Worthy, Doubs, Concepcion, Khalil Shakir, Jaden Higgins. A lot of buzz on Jaden Higgins for Houston.
In round 12.
Yeah, round 10 too soon, round 12 okay. But I look at a lot of these wide receivers that I would take in that round 12 group and say, all right, I like this guy. He might be good. He may need an injury to really be good. I think I'd rather just take another shot at a running back and see what happens the first month of the season.
We got a sleeper for Heath and Deebo Samuel and a sleeper for Dave and Jalen Coker at wide receivers 54 and 55.
Both better than the last six names you've said.
I don't know about all six of the names, but many of them. Yes, I agree.
Rashid Shaheed.
No.
I like him as a late round pick. Now, I like him a lot as a late round pick.
I don't know what the real ADP will be, but right now it's Stephon Diggs, wide receiver 57.
Yeah, he's going to move up.
Great value.
Let's see.
What should his ADP be, Heath? I think you're more bullish on Diggs than I am.
No, I think we did it yesterday. I said round 8, 9. You said round 9.
Okay.
Just from yesterday, just six drafts on NFC. Stephon Diggs is going 98th overall, so that is the beginning of round 9.
Perfect.
All right, let's keep going here. Stephon Diggs, where are you? We are at wide receiver 57, so moving down, there's a big gap before Jalen McMillan.
No.
Not now.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, if Godwin doesn't have it, if he's, just washed up and injured at this point, you pick up McMillan. I don't think you draft him. But he'll be on my radar to pick up.
Who, Jalen McMillan?
Yeah.
He's currently got a knee injury without a timetable.
He does, yes. He is injured. Denzel Boston and Jerry Jeudy.
Yes, Denzel Boston.
Agreed.
Jalen Naylor.
I still have his name high enough in my rankings to consider him with a late round pick. But he falls into that same group as Jaden Higgins. Like the opportunity, just not sure when I'd use him in fantasy. Let's find a running back to draft instead.
I prefer Trey Tucker.
And Tucker is four picks later at wide receiver, or five picks, four. Omar Cooper Jr., DeJon Stribling.
Too soon.
Maybe.
For both.
Maybe Stribling.
I mean, we're at pick 172 now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it. Yes. Sorry. I didn't know if we were still in round 10 or round 11.
No, we're actually in the 180s. Yeah. Juwan Jennings.
Here are the 47 wide receivers we drafted.
Dave, how do you feel about wide receiver 102 being Jack
Bash? The last guy I want to bring up is Tank Dell.
Yes.
He's 190.
Just for fun and draft him.
Yeah. The last guy I want to bring up is Trey Harris and Zachariah Branch. No?
I don't believe it.
Are these keeper leagues?
Christian Kirk.
Is this old guy leagues?
Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you on the mailbag. Jamie will be back next week. We've got sleepers, breakouts, and busts. We're going to do some mock drafts. Get you ready for your drafts, which are, you know, probably a little ways away for a lot of you because the season's starting a little bit later. And, of course, we'll talk about the great Carson Beck.
Fun fact, Christian Kirk, under the age of 30, and I just called him an old guy.
He will be 30 this year, though.
He's got the legs of an old guy.
We will talk to you later. Thanks a lot, and have a great weekend. See ya.
Podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Plutofo. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, The Matrix, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, or Mean Girls.
That is so fetch.
Just stream it for free on Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.